Good morning, church. Man, I just want to say thank you to the worship team. They sounded great this morning. I just want to give them a hand for all they do each and every week. Joe, great job. We are blessed at Sunrise. I was thinking this morning as I heard the band practicing when I was upstairs this morning, just how grateful I am for people who are willing to show up early, to practice throughout the week, and to lead us in worship each and every week. And that really comes down to these musicians, these singers. Leslie, you guys do a great job, and I'm incredibly grateful to be the worship pastor here. So if you are visiting with us, I am not our lead pastor, David, who my wife has already said is actually at First Baptist Woodstock right now. First Baptist Woodstock is one of the churches that walked us through church planning training, that helped fund Sunrise City Church as we got started. And it is so cool that Pastor David and Pastor Jeremy, who's the lead pastor there, are going to be taking this trip to South Africa. And this is the first time that Sunrise City Church has physically been able to take a trip overseas since we planted. So I want to give God a hand in that. And I want to say that we are incredibly grateful, as what Lacey just said. Pastor David wouldn't have the opportunity to even consider going over there and seeing the work that's been done if our church has not been faithful in their giving. And it ties so much into what we're going to talk about this morning. We didn't time it this way. It wasn't intentional. I'll tell you, if the text fell on what Pastor David has to talk about next week, I would have asked not to have to preach that text because it's pretty difficult. And I am thankful where it fell for me this morning. If you haven't been with us, we have been in the book of 1 Timothy as we've talked about what it looks like to be a healthy church. And I know that almost everyone, if not everyone in this building, would say, I have been hurt in church, whether it's by people, whether it's by leadership. Maybe I've just seen how messy it is. Maybe you've been a part of a church split. There are stories upon stories about how an imperfect church has hurt Christians, non-Christians alike. And so as we dive into 1 Timothy, the point here isn't to say, here's why Sunrise City Church is perfect, because if you've been here for any amount of time, you realize that that is not the case. But because we are imperfect people, but what we want to do is be a church that says we are following Christ to our utmost extent and following his word exactly how he calls, so that we can reach this community, so that we can reach the nations, and so that even here in community, as Lacey talked about this morning, we can say we have a fellowship with people who may be imperfect, but we love each other, we love the Lord, and we're seeking to see him glorified. And so I love what we've gone through just in the first 3 weeks. Pastor David walked us through chapter one, a lot about what it looks like to guard the gospel. You know, he talked about fighting for the gospel in your family. You know, one thing that I've been praying on, and I love, and in our community group as we discussed, but also just something that we've kind of talked about, that even a guy this past Wednesday morning at coffee shared, was that this idea that Pastor talked about, where he says a healthy family helps produce a healthy church. And what he talked about was, hey, I'm not saying every family that comes in here is perfect. I bet every mom, dad who had to try to rile the kids up this morning may say, I may have said or done a few things that were imperfect myself, just getting them here this morning. But the idea that we can be a people who walk with God outside of Sunrise City Church, outside of church in general, we can seek the Lord, we can seek his face, we can try to lead our families well, we can try to lead our friends well, we can try to just make sure that we never get over the gospel. And so that song, Firm Foundation, that we sang, the idea that our foundation, that Christ is our foundation. You know, we all, if we were singing, we're singing that we will not be shaken by the wind, by the rain, by the circumstances around us. And I found myself on the front row questioning, God, have I allowed my circumstances to shake the foundation of who you are in my life? Have I actually stayed true to the fact that I believe that you have saved me, that you have resurrected me, that your gospel is true? And as Pastor David talked about last week, how do we keep ourselves from getting over the gospel? Because if everything we're saying is true, how is this not producing fruit in our lives to get out here and tell every person we know that is on their way to hell that there is a God that loves them, that can save them, that can save them from where they are and lead them into eternity where they are with him forever? And so as we believe that, and if we believe that to be true, now we take a step to say, this is who we are as a church. Pastor David leads us well in making sure that every message that he preaches leads us to the cross. Says no matter what the text is, we are going to end saying, hey, Jesus loves you, Jesus died for you, Jesus rose again, and that is the foundation of every decision and every move that we make as a people and as a church. And so if that's the case, and now we've built this foundation to say, hey, a healthy church builds everything upon the rock of who Jesus is. And now we walk through. So how are we supposed to apply this? You know, I was thinking about my son is, 21 or 22 months old. He turns 2 in April. And one of his favorite words is more of anything. If I say, all right, he loves when I throw him around on the couch. He calls it one because I count 1, 2, 3 and I throw him. So anytime I look at him like this, he's like, one? And I go and we throw. I mean, I could do it for 10 minutes. By the time he's in the air falling, he's saying again, or he's saying more. If you throw fruit at this guy, mouthful of blueberries, 2 handfuls of blueberries, and he's still going, more. It's never enough. I thought about how much he is a great kid, but it is never enough. You read the book 10 times, again. I'm like, buddy, we said one more time, again, again, more, more. Let's do it again. Don't take him to the zoo and go by that train if the person driving the train isn't going to start it up and go the minute he sees it. He loses his mind. And I'm like, what? Buddy, we're going. We're in line. You know, it's 5 minutes. It's over for 5 minutes. The minute we're on, happy. And I started thinking about how similar sometimes me personally in my walk with God and my prayers with God feel like that. I'm like, I need more, God. I see what this is going on here. I see what's going on in this family. I need that. I want that. God, grant me that. Or man, God, I'm praying for these folks to come to know the Lord. Why aren't they coming to the Lord? And you know what? In a month, I'm not even praying for the same lost people that I was praying for a month ago. And I find myself surpassing the things quickly because I'm not getting exactly what I want the moment I get it. And I start to realize that a lot of times for me personally, a lot of what I do spiritually, a lot of my praying comes from a, not even intentionally, my circle and my circle alone. My people, my church, and I kind of lose sight of the fact that there's an entire world that needs the gospel and that needs our prayers. And so I love what these verses say, and I want to go ahead and jump into them right here. So we're in 1 Timothy, we're going to read from chapter 2, we're going to read the first 7 verses. It says this, first of all, so we've just considered the fact that the foundation, the gospel is worth fighting for. It's worth everything in our lives. We want it to be the foundation. And now he goes into, hey, as a church, what should you be doing? He says, first of all, I urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all those who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good, and it pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind. That man is Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, a testimony at the proper time. For this, I was appointed a herald, an apostle. I am telling you, it's like he's pleading here. Hey, I'm telling the truth. I'm not lying. And a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Let's pray. God, we are so grateful for your word. God, we're grateful for the truths that we've already lifted up this morning that we've read through your word. And God, right now we're praying that you would speak in such a mighty way because we know when we open the word of God that each of us should leave this place changed. But we are praying specifically now, God, that you would help us personally and as a church understand more on how we are to move forward, keeping our eyes fixed on you, the one who paid it all. God, we're grateful, and it's in your name we do pray. Amen. I want you to write this down. It is essential for us to be a church that prays for all people. Now, that seems like an impossible task. What I'm not going to say God is saying here is that you need to find an old telephone book that used to be delivered and start praying name by name. But what I am saying and what Paul is clearly getting across to us as we walk through this text is one, the gospel does not discriminate. So when we say, hey, the gospel is for everyone, we are to pray for everyone. That means all races, all ethnicity. It means the guy under Brooks Bridge, which I hate that my brother's not here this morning because he knows a couple of those guys by name. And I say, you know what? As I have had even conversations with those guys, I used to run on Brooks Bridge, and there was always a guy down there, and he'd always be like, hey, what's up, buddy? And I'd skip like a week, and he'd be like, where you been? And you know, as I was thinking through this text, as I was just praying, God, how do we be a people that prays for all people? You know, look, all of this is applicable to us personally, and I wanna make sure we know that. What I'm not gonna do this morning is talk about a prayer schedule, my prayer regimen, what it looks like, the days and what that is. We all know, and I hope we leave this place understanding that your prayer life matters. God desires to hear from you. He wants to hear from you. And we'll see it's part of his will. He wants you to be in full communication with him. But man, as we as a church say, we want to step back and we want to be a church that sees all people come to know Christ, because we know that the foundation of everything we do is built upon the gospel. It is worth fighting for. It is worth living for. And now we hit a point where we say, hey, every people need to hear a word from God. And so I know it's essential for us to do it personally, but as a church level, look, I'm going to get to application towards the end, but I want to highlight our prayer nights this year. We've got one coming up in March. It's on our website, an opportunity for us to come outside of a Sunday morning gathering and prioritize getting on our knees and saying, God, we need you to move. We want to hear from you. We want to see you move. And so I encourage you to be a part of that, because as a church that says we want to be healthy, it really says, hey, we make it a priority to say it is essential for us to pray for those that need to come to know Christ. And I feel like there's no better time for Pastor David to be on his way to South Africa than a day where we talk about the importance of praying for all people. Because it is really easy to get caught up in our small circle and forget that there's an entire world that doesn't know Jesus. I was watching Passion Conference this year, and they were talking about raising funds to help all these languages that don't have the gospel in their language. And one of the things he shared, and I was glad my wife wasn't in the room because I was starting to get emotional as I was watching. I was like, oh, it's cool. I'm not, it's all right. You don't have to cry about this. But he started to walk through this process and he brought a guy up and he said, hey, he's from this area of the world that they don't have the gospel in their language. So for their worship, they sing in their own language. They've got that. They sing songs in their own language. But the scripture, the pastor has to read in a different language that he knows, and then have a translator to translate it to his people so that they know what God's word says. They had never been able to read the gospel in their own language. And through that week, Passion raised some money, and in that same time frame, they had some people get like 12 verses to them. And so that week in that church, they were able to gather like us on Sunday morning, open their scripture and read 12 verses in their own language. And they say, you can't imagine how powerful this is. And then I go to sleep. And I wake up the next day and life is normal. And I forget the fact that there are people all over the world, not just that don't have the scripture in their language, that don't even know who Jesus Christ is. They say, those are the people that we want to be praying for as a church. It's why we celebrate the fact that Pastor David leaves and goes overseas. That's why next week, I highly encourage you to be here as jet-lagged Pastor David gets to share about his trip with us. And I really want you to be here because it is something else to be able to hear what God's doing in a place that we don't actually have eyes on, but that it helps us say, hey, we want to keep our eyes fixed on Christ and bring him the utmost glory. And so as we want to pray for everyone, every people, he goes into verse 2 and says, for kings and all those in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. So there's not a lot of kings in this area, but there was like the emperor. So if you know anything about history and you know anything about Nero, you know how scary of a man he was and how much he disliked Christians. And so you can imagine Paul writing and saying, hey, we want to pray for this guy. I would imagine, if I was to scan many of Facebook's here, I may be able to find some politicians you agree with, maybe that you disagree with. And us as a church, I would say, when's the last time we or you sat down and prayed for the leaders of our country or our world? You know, I think it's hard because we find this place, like you think these guys are reading this going, we gotta pray for guys like Nero? And he goes on to say, hey, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity, saying, hey, there are Christians at the time that are being persecuted all around. There are Christians now being persecuted all around the world. And for us to pray for the leaders of those countries so that they may not have to suffer as much, so that maybe one day they come to know Christ, that is the type of thing that we say, hey, how do we start to be a church that focuses more on praying for those outside of our comfort zone and say, you know what? I'm not praying for God to do whatever to the president or the next president, other than saying, God, we're just praying that you would lead him, that you would use him in a way to bring you glory, because there is a reason in this place and time that they are leading. And I love this quote from Platt. He says this, he said, you know, There would have been very few Christian rulers at that time. Yet Paul is telling them, pray for all rulers, even the pagan ones. Pray for the king you suffer under. Pray for the leader you don't agree with. Pray for the ruler you don't approve of. This is God's will. I know about every time I've ever heard a message on prayer, I usually just feel kind of guilty. Because I'm like, if I believe all these things that we talk about, all these things that we sing, all these things we pray, that Jesus is the only way to heaven and we have been saved by him, he wants to hear from me, but yet I'm lacking. So what I don't want us to hear this morning is a list of, I've got to start adding this, I've got to start adding this, I've got to start doing this. But as we start to read through God's word, what it looks like to really follow him, it's not a coincidence that Old Testament and New Testament is full of prayers of all kinds. From sorrow to burdens to thanksgiving to petitions to intercessory prayers to all of these things. From Jesus, the New Testament, the apostles, the Old Testament, the prophets, they are all recording these prayers because it is essential in their lives. And so when I say, hey, it's essential for us as a church to be praying for all people, it is essential for us to be praying for all people because there will be a time where earth is no more, Jesus has come, and now we sit back to the reality of what more could I have done? And so all I want for us is to continue to read through these scriptures and say, God, we just want to leave this place to continue to be the church that you've called us to do. And the one thing that God is calling us to do is to pray for all people, pray for our leaders, pray for those above us. And you know what that includes? I want to highlight this, praying for our pastor. You know, the leader of Sunrise, I am so grateful for where God has brought us over these last, look, I think it was just this past week, we had our first, it was like the 10-year anniversary of our first monthly gathering. Oh man, the picture was so bad. I was like, sent it to friends. I was like, look how stupid this looks. Like, it was so bad. But I think of all God has done in those 10 years and how he has shifted and praying for Pastor David and praying for his wife, Kelly, and praying for their daughters. Even this week, as he's gone and he's doing all these things, it is of utmost importance that we pray for protection over him. And I encourage you to do that. Because, hey, I want Sunrise City Church to be here for the long run. We know it is. We see what God's doing. And having Pastor David lead us and be safe and be cautious and having God's protection over him, I do believe is essential. So I did want to just put that as a side note that's not in my notes, that your prayers for our pastor matter. Verses 3 and 4 say this. This is good and it pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So we see why our prayers matter, because it is what God wills. It pleases him, and he wants to see everyone saved. You have heard this quote probably 5 times this year. I couldn't not write it down again. From Louis, he says, if you could see what happens when we pray, you'd never cease to pray. And when I was kind of feeling like God was leading into ministry, I was listening to this clip of a pastor of ours back home, and this pastor, Leonard Ravenhill, on this audio they played, he kept saying, God, if you would just stamp eternity on my eyes, if I could always constantly see what is to come, my life today would be radically different. And I just think about how crucial it is for us to be praying and talking to the God that created each one of us in this room. The one who loves us so much that he sent Christ to die for us. That God wants to hear from us. And here's what I don't want you to hear from this scripture. So he says, who wants everyone to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? God loves every single person in the universe. Always has, always will. And I think it's amazing to me that through our prayers, God hears and wants and has a passion to see every person come to know him. That doesn't mean that every person is going to come to know him. So there's a lot of confusion. People can take this text and say, see, this is why we believe in universalism. This is why we believe that everyone ends up in heaven regardless of circumstance, regardless of what they believe. And look, the matter of fact is Jesus, the Son of God, does not come to earth and die on a cross for our sins if everyone goes to heaven anyway. And so we start to realize that, hey, your prayers can impact the kingdom of God. God allows us to be a part of his story. And I don't want to sit back and be the person who looks back and says, God, why didn't I pray more? You know, there was a circumstance Pastor David and I were talking about probably I don't know, 6 months, a year ago. I don't really remember. I won't talk about the circumstance, but one of the things he said stuck with me and has really encouraged and kind of elevated my prayer life. There were some things happening that we had been praying for, and it actually looked like it was going to come to fruition at a time we didn't expect. And as we were talking about it, he was like, you know, my only regret is that I didn't pray more about it. Like, or that we didn't, you know, that we didn't pray even more about the situation. Almost like, hey, if it comes to fruition, man, I want to be able to say I left it all on the table. God, we were praying constantly. We were constantly, and you granted, we didn't deserve it, but you granted the prayers of your people. You heard. And I thought, man, that's so true. I don't want to get to a point where I'm like, man, I sure wish I would have prayed more. Because I promise you, we can impact the kingdom of God. He wants, again, this is good. It pleases God, who wants everyone to be saved. I want to move on to verse 5. We're going to go ahead and read from 5 to 7. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, a testimony at the proper time. For this I was appointed a herald, an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, and a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I want to read this last quote that Platt had to say. He just had so much good talking about these scriptures. He says, let me actually backtrack because I don't want to skip and miss some of this. When we read that there is one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus. What I love, and I want to pinpoint this, the reason I love that Paul actually says the man Christ Jesus, the only mediator for us, is he helps us to realize, hey, Jesus is the only person who is fully God, coming in the form of the Son of God, and fully man, that fully understands everything that you and I walk through. That's hard to imagine. You know, I found myself through the years saying things like, this is unfair. It doesn't seem fair that this is happening here, and whether these people are getting to do what I wish I could do, or this thing's happening here, and that just doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem right that it hasn't happened for me. And that's not a Christ-like thing to think. It's not a pastor-like thing to think. But I find myself trying to fight that urge of like, man, life can get hard. Temptations are real. And we are called to follow Christ at all costs. And it is so nice to know that God has been there, that Jesus Christ has fought temptation and won, that Christ knows what we're walking through and is encouraging us to fight the good fight. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, who gave himself as a ransom for all. It's hard in today's world to preach the truth in love. Because if you were to ask 10 people, hey, what do you believe? I've got family in my life that definitely don't believe what I believe about Jesus to be true. A lot of friends. Look, I'll tell you, pickleball, I love pickleball, and I have met some incredibly interesting characters on the pickleball court. And I had one in particular call me, and he was like, well, you know, not a believer. He's like, well, what is your church, you know, what do you do? And he found out Pastor David and I were the pastors. He's like, y'all? He's like, y'all are the pastors of your church? He's like, who else works there? I was like, well, we got a kids director, part-time, a production director. And he was like, you guys lead that church? And, you know, he couldn't believe it, but we got to a point where we started talking. And I was amazed that I'm talking to a guy who has nothing to do with the faith and who Christ is, but tells me they pray with their kids at night. And I'm like, to who? And that's not even genuine. It's like, it's not even a joke more than this is a sad reality around us, is that so many people have their truth on who God is, and that is what they stick with forever. And so we have the absolute truth in the one God. I love that he kind of points us back. Even if you go to Deuteronomy 6, you've got the one God. And then you've got our mediator, Jesus Christ, the only one who can pay the ransom for our debts, the only one who can forgive you of your sins, of the sacrifice on the cross. He is the only way to salvation. And we have got an obligation to say, do we really believe what we're saying here? Do I believe that Jesus is the only way that someone can come to faith and be saved of their sins and be in eternity forever? If we believe that, how has it shifted our life? I put too many quotes in here already, so I didn't jot this down, but I was reading the section from an old theologian, and something he talked about was Every person that you come in contact with that does not know Jesus as their Savior is on their way to hell. Every single person. And he kind of just is like, what are we doing about it? When's the last time you got on your knee, you sat down, you don't even get on your knees, and prayed for a lost friend or family member? When's the last time? That's not to ask for hands. It's to simply say, if everything we're talking about is true, if Jesus Christ is the only person and God who has been able to come here, sacrifice himself, and save us of our sins, and we know that to be true, and we are not praying constantly for every person around the world and our friends and our family and our coworkers, and we're not seeking to see them come to know Christ, do we really believe the gospel? And that is something that I just want to make sure that you hear from me, that I am working on constantly, that I am not in any realm doing this the way and as much as I'd like to do. You know, verse 7 says, for I was appointed as a herald, an apostle. So even though Paul was saying here, that was really his own role. He was an apostle. But I will say, in part as a whole, it is our role to share the gospel with others. It is our role. It can be weird. Some people are going to be hostile. You know, I say that it's difficult because everybody has their, this is my truth and you can't tell me otherwise. And in the end, this is the truth. This is the only truth. This is the only thing that gets us from death to life. This is the only thing that transfers us from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of light, like it says in Colossians chapter 1. I didn't mark this, and I know I didn't put it on the screen. But in Ephesians chapter 2, he writes, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you previously walked according to the ways of this world. And then he goes on to say in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with Christ. Even though we were dead in our trespasses, you were saved by grace. One more verse I want to read, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. That is the God that we serve. That is the only God that saves. And that is the only God that we should be praying for. Say, God, please save more people. Please allow us to reach the nations for you. So you've already heard it's essential for us to be a church that prays for all people. The second thing I want you to jot is it is essential for us to be a church that shares the gospel boldly. Pastor David does this well. How do we, as people who have regular jobs, who stay at home with kids, who have all these responsibilities and all these distractions that may come about us in life, how do we preach the gospel boldly? You know, that quote from Louis that keeps kind of coming up, and this idea of, you know, if we could only see what our prayers do, we would never cease to pray. And I start to realize, you know what? If we follow this tune of saying, hey, we are going to pray for every people, every nation, every tribe, every tongue, you know what you wake up to do? You pray that prayer. You are now thinking, I bet this guy next to me does not know the gospel. And I have prayed for him, maybe not by name, but now I have an opportunity to just tell him that Jesus loves him. There are so many opportunities, and I am saying this with great conviction this morning, that I know there are people in my life that need to hear the gospel that have never heard me tell them that. I know. And I prayed about him this week, and I thought, I need to reach out, and I need to get coffee, and I need to not worry about the after effects of that relationship. If this person says, I do not care, don't talk to me about this again. But the repercussions of not sharing the greatest gift in the world to everyone around us is great, and it is an eternal repercussion. And so when we say, hey, we want to be a church that prays for all people, we can pray all day and God can do so much work through that. But if we're not willing to take the next step and have a conversation, you're the kind of person who's like, you don't have to preach the gospel. If necessary, use words. You have to use words. We can live a great life. You can pray constantly. You can believe every word of this Bible to be true, but if you never utter it to your neighbor, what's the point? And so I do believe that there's a word here that we have got to be a church that prioritizes prayer. Well, look, we did prayer nights last year. Some high attended, some very low attended. We were never discouraged because God was always glorified. But I got to tell you, we have got to be starting with myself, starting with Pastor David. And I will not say his name again other than the fact to tell you that he is a guy who lives what he preaches. I see it. It is very convicting and it helps. So you've got a pastor who believes it. Ask his gym. You go to that guy's gym. They're like, that's the pastor. If you want to have a conversation, oh, he'll have it. And he gets some serious grief. I'll tell you that. But I look at that and I go, man, that needs to be me. That needs to be us. We need to follow these words because if we're a people who say we're going to pray for each person in this world, every tribe, every nation, we're going to send our church all over the country. What's the point? That's awesome. But hey, what if we can share the gospel in South Africa, we can share the gospel in Okaloosa County. And I pray that that's us. I can't help. I put more down as we close. As I was thinking about Luke's craziness and how he says more and think about my prayers and God, we need more. And all I really want to say is God, we do need more. We need more of your presence. We need more Spirit's guidance to say, God, give us the desire to be on our knees before you every day when we wake up to say, God, use me today. Let me spend my time in prayer, not so distracted. I am the world's most distracted person. I mean, I am very distracted. And it gets to a point where I'm like, I have got to be able to settle in and say, God, I'm ready. I'm ready to pray and I'm ready to seek your face and I'm ready to pray for all people in my life, my friends, my family, my coworkers, those I don't know in my neighborhood, those I don't know in this town, in this state, in this country, in this world, because we know that it pleases you. We know that you want to hear from us, and we also know that you have given us a task, that you have saved us from an everlasting darkness separated from you because of the one ransom in Christ Jesus. And because of that truth, our lives have changed. We should be bearing all kinds of fruit, and we should be willing to say, God, because you have granted me this gift, and I believe this, my life has got to be different, and I need to be pointing others to Jesus. And so as we close today, I highly encourage you in the moment right now to just ask God. God, really, just reflect, how am I doing personally in my prayer life? How am I doing personally in my evangelizing? Because we're asking this question at Sunrise City Church, how are we going to do a better job of being a healthy church? We're gonna be a church that prays. We're gonna continue to pray. We're going to gather on a Sunday night every other month. We're going to pray. We're going to pray together on Sunday mornings. We're going to pray with each other in group. Community matters, because when we realize that the power of everyone in this room, do you understand if everyone in this room left this place and shared the gospel with one person, one, immediate impact of the kingdom. If we're just willing to say, God, if you would give me the desire and the passion that I know you want from us to pray for those that don't know you, to pray for those who are suffering under horrible rulers, to pray for the persecution of Christians around the world, to pray for those who are in authority over us, that immediately now fixates our eyes on him as we enter the world full of distraction, full of fake truth everywhere you turn. And you know what? That is the loving thing to do, is to pray for those around you that you like, that you don't know. And it is just as loving to make sure that we're sharing this gospel of who Jesus is and the power of him and his blood. So I'm gonna close in prayer. And as I do, there's a couple things I want you to do. If you are feeling like there are people in your life that desperately need prayer, I would love nothing more than to have this altar with people saying, God, they need you. I know they need you. Help lead me into conversation. Not just, hey, come to Sunrise with me. That's good. But hey, here's who Jesus is, and this is how much he loves you. And I would love to share more. If you've got people you want to pray for, you can come down. If you need to know Jesus, the only one that was able to pay the sin debt that we have, the only one, And you say, man, I don't have a relationship with him and I need him and I want him to save me and I want to be cleansed of the sins that I've done, but I also just want to be in right standing with God and I know I need Jesus, then you come down. You've got Jorge here, you've got my wife Lacey here, I'll be down up front. There are people that would love to talk to you. This isn't supposed to be a beat up message. This is supposed to be a, here's what a healthy church looks like, and a healthy church prays. A healthy church shares the gospel boldly because they believe that that is what God has called them to do. So God, we are so grateful this morning for who you are. We are so grateful for the blood that Christ shed for us as the only ransom that is worthy of salvation. And so we thank you for the sacrifice of Christ. We thank you for how good you are. And right now, we are praying for the people in South Africa, the Zulu tribe, those who are gonna be able to hear the gospel and have because of this ministry. We pray for Pastor David that you would give him the strength and the boldness to through the flights and all the craziness, to be able to share and to pour into the staff there at Hope to Africa. But God, we are praying now more than anything for those who don't know you. God, that even in this room, that they would come and make that step to come surrender their lives to you. God, for those friends and family members in my life, for the friends and family members of each of those lives here represented in the building, God, we pray for them that you would give us the boldness as Sunrise City Church to not be ashamed to have a conversation to say, do you know how much God loves you? Let me tell you how he saved me. We are so grateful for salvation. We are so grateful for your word. And we are thankful that even though each person in here, leadership included, may be imperfect, we look to a perfect God and we thank you for how good and how loving and how forgiving you are. It's in your name we pray. Amen. The worship team's gonna come on up. Guys, I encourage you again, if you're feeling conviction of any kind, make a move, come pray, come talk to somebody if you need to be talked, just have a word of encouragement if you need prayer, but especially if you need to give your life to Christ, there is no better time than right now as the worship team continues to lead us in worship.